The Rogue Ghost, Episode 13. Right before our eyes, the stained glass window sprang to life. The Henry sisters and Jacques Vincent, once frozen in colorful glass, came to life with vivid detail, their story unfurling in a silent ballet. This wasn't just a window, it was a living testament to their intertwined fates, a visual symphony of their enduring legacy. But, just as we thought the performance had reached its peak, a crescendo of mystery and allure, the lantern on the Christmas card in RG's hand, our trusty guide in this world of shadows and secrets, cast its beam upon a part of the window we hadn't noticed before. Like a magician revealing the final act of an impossible trick, a keyhole materialized amidst the vibrant tableau.
Greetings once again, my dear friends. Welcome back to the latest installment of our saga, where history's whispers and the dance of shadows amongst the unseen converge in a symphony of the mystical. You've joined us again at a pivotal moment, a nexus of discovery and danger, as we tread further along the path less traveled. I am the Rogue Ghost, your navigator through this labyrinth of the arcane, and with me, the tenacious Runeweaver, my comrade in arms against the veils that separate worlds. Together, we beckon you to join us as we weave through a complex saga of sorcery, enigmas, and the relentless quest for enlightenment that marks our journey. This chapter unfolds against the backdrop of Montreal's hushed narratives and a startling revelation unearthed within the confines of our watermill retreat. A single Polaroid, ensnared in the mists of a secretive moment, emerged as a beacon, illuminating the intertwined paths of our odyssey for the third mystical puzzle box and shedding light upon a forgotten chapter in the annals of Runeweaver's lineage. This image, a testament to the ethereal bonds of magic caught within the frame of time, whispers of veiled truths and untapped lore, casting its glow upon the enigmatic legacy left by Runeweaver's Aunt Vanessa.
Amid the Herculean task of wrestling with floorboards that bore witness to centuries, my hands brushed against an anomaly, a Polaroid photo, hidden in the shadows like a secret yearning for the light. In this digital age, a Polaroid is akin to a relic, a nod to days when memories were etched in the here and now, each snapshot a tangible slice of history. Yet, this was no ordinary relic. This Polaroid harbored a chill that danced down my spine, immortalizing an enchanter, her gaze alight with the ethereal glow of radiance. Written beneath this haunting image, in a hasty or perhaps frantic script, lay a solitary term, breach. This wasn't merely a forgotten photograph, it was a beacon, illuminating a path I hadn't realized awaited exploration. It whispered of Aunt Vanessa's entanglement in the arcane, casting her legacy in a light that danced between reverence and the mystique of the unknown. The enchanter's illuminated eyes showed live magic, a spectacle that RG informed me could only be captured through the medium of an instant photograph. Unlike digital images, which fall prey to the magical community's mysterious veil of perception magic, a Polaroid stands as a steadfast witness to enchantment's raw spectacle. The revelation of this enchanter's radiance, stark against the Polaroid's backdrop, hinted at the gravity of Aunt Vanessa's investigation, secrets of such magnitude that they manifested visibly, eternally captured on film. And that hastily scribbled breach, it spoke of boundaries transgressed, of forbidden thresholds crossed, perhaps the very catalyst for Aunt Vanessa's untimely demise. Her departure from this world, shrouded in the official report of an accidental car crash, always lingered at the edge of my consciousness as an unresolved melody. Yet, the unearthing of this Polaroid within the hidden recesses of her beloved watermill, the very legacy bequeathed to me, casts a shadow of doubt on the narrative of her passing. It paints her story with strokes of magic and peril, suggesting that her end might have been anything but accidental, a theory now grounded in the tangible evidence of this haunting image.
in the pulse of Runeweaver's resolve, an electric current seemed to crackle through the air, igniting a sense of purpose that enveloped us like a cloak. Her determination, a palpable force, drove us forward with unwavering intensity, cutting through any doubt or hesitation like a blade through silk. With a clarity that rivaled the gleam of polished steel, she charted our course, an expedition to the sanctum of legal wisdom, Langston and Crowley solicitors. Positioned in the historic core of London, Langston and Crowley stood in striking contrast to the shadowy, magical corners of London we had traversed in recent times. It represented a bastion of the tangible, a symbol of knowledge and law within a city layered with an intricate tapestry of the arcane and the ancestral. Our objective was clear: to seek out the tendrils of insight that might lie within its venerable walls, clues to the intricate web of Runeweaver's familial heritage.
So, there we were, smack dab in the center of London, sitting across from Bill Langston, Aunt V's lawyer, in an office that's more library than workspace. The air was thick, not just with the scent of old books and leather, but with the electric charge of anticipation. Bill, all polished in his lawyerly attire, once crossed oceans to hand deliver the keys to what's now our covert watermill base. As we sank into chairs that seemed eager to envelop us entirely, Bill threw in a question about my tattoo that hit the conversation like a bolt from the blue. Vanessa had a similar mark, didn't she? He commented, a spark of intrigue lighting up his eyes. Is it some kind of family tradition? His casual curiosity was like a beacon, shedding light on connections I hadn't even begun to map out. There I was, under the impression my tattoo was my private passkey to the magical realm, only to learn it might weave me even closer to Aunt Vanessa. It dawned on me, this ink wasn't just skin deep, it was a clue, a silent echo of Aunt Vanessa's own entanglement with the arcane. As Bill handed me a copy of Aunt Vanessa's will, the document felt like a coded message from the beyond. Every line, every stipulation, seemed to whisper of hidden truths and veiled secrets. Aunt Vanessa's instructions to bequeath her estate to animal charities was pure Aunt V, her heart always beat loud for the voiceless. But it was the mention of a storage unit, its lease paid through to the end of October 2027, that stopped me cold, a seemingly innocuous detail that screamed of untold stories, a nook in the narrative, ripe for exploration. The catch? Post-lease, the contents were destined for destruction, a time bomb of potential answers ticking away. Though Bill provided the address of this mysterious storage, legalities barred him from offering more than just a nudge in its direction. Stepping back onto the bustling streets of London, the world around us seemed to shimmer with a newfound clarity, as if Aunt Vanessa's spirit was guiding us through the fog of mystery that had long shrouded her. Her realm, a tapestry where magic and the mundane intertwine, was gradually unfolding before our eyes, beckoning us deeper into its weave. RG's proposal to decompress over coffee in a nearby cafe was a welcome one. As we drifted towards the promise of a quiet corner and a moment to regather our thoughts, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were on the cusp of uncovering something monumental, a secret that bridged the gap between Aunt Vanessa's past and our present. Diving into memories always has this bittersweet edge, like sipping a cup of perfectly brewed tea that's just a tad too hot. Aunt Vanessa, or Vanessa Colby as she was known to the rest of the world, was this whirlwind of a woman originally from Boston. She had this curiosity, a kind that could never be satisfied by staying put, which probably explained her leap across the pond to the UK, a place for which she fell head over heels. Not just for the history or the accents, but for the layers and layers of untold stories whispering through its cobblestone streets and fog-laden mornings. Being an investigative reporter wasn't just her job, it was who she was down to her very core. Aunt V had this knack for sniffing out stories that others would balk at, those tangled in shadows, coated in mystery, and often a touch too dangerous. It was as if she was drawn to them, a moth to a flame, unable to resist the pull of uncovering truths that lay buried under layers of secrecy and silence. This passion, this relentless drive to bring light to the darkest of secrets, it wasn't just her legacy, it was a baton passed down through the generations, landing firmly in my grasp. Her love affair with the UK was more than just a change of scenery, it was a whole new chapter of adventure. And she dove into it with the same enthusiasm she did with everything else in her life. It wasn't long before she made her home there, blending into the tapestry of local life as if she was always meant to be part of it, yet always keeping a bit of Boston with her, in her accent, her attitude, and that indomitable spirit. Reflecting on Aunt V's life is like flipping through an old photo album where each picture sparks 100 stories. She lived fiercely, loved deeply, and pursued the truth with an unyielding dedication. Her passing left a void, a silence, where once there was a constant stream of tales and laughter. But in her absence, I find myself picking up the torch, guided by the whispers of mystery she cherished so deeply, determined to uncover the story she might have stumbled upon, a narrative woven from magic, danger, and the unseen world she was just beginning to reveal.
As we delved into the layers of Vanessa's enigmatic past, a palpable sense of urgency enveloped me. It served as a poignant reminder of the quest that momentarily lay dormant in the background. The storage unit, a veritable Pandora's box brimming with untold stories and hidden truths, beckoned us with the allure of a siren's call, tempting us to dive into its depths. However, the muted yet constant call of the next puzzle box wove a more compelling tune, an imperative echo that demanded our immediate attention. In a shared moment of clarity, Runeweaver and I acknowledged the immutability of the storage unit's presence. It was anchored in time, its revelations patient and unyielding, for now at least. This silent agreement between us underlined the necessity to temporarily sheath our curiosity about Vanessa's cryptic legacy. The enticements of her storage unit, though potent, were to remain enshrouded in the mist of the yet to be explored, at least for the time being. With a collective resolve, we chose to redirect our focus back to the quest at hand. The third puzzle box, with its mystical allure and the key it held to unlocking further dimensions of our journey, beckoned us with a persistence that brooked no delay. This shift in focus was a testament to our dedication to the larger odyssey, a delicate balance between the lure of the past and the imperatives of our present endeavor. This choice signified not a termination but a strategic pause, a decision to momentarily shelve one mystery to pursue another, each step a measured tread along the fine line separating revelation from obscurity. Our adventure, a rich tapestry interwoven with the threads of antiquity and the pressing challenges of our current journey, continued to unfold, each revelation a beacon illuminating our path through the mists of the unknown, guiding us ever onwards in our pursuit of truth amidst the manifold shadows that lay in wait.
Before we left for Montreal, I couldn't resist one last sweep through the Odyssey Seekers Forum. It's now my pre-mission ritual, like checking the weather, but for potentially life-threatening updates instead of rain forecasts. And wouldn't you know it, the digital seas were calm around Montreal. But a new thread caught my eye, waving a red flag about Prague, specifically Prague Castle. The thread was titled Places to Visit in March, which was about as subtle as a brick through a window, given our current escapade. The post itself was just an image of the castle, but to the untrained eye, it was just another tourist snapshot. To me, it was a treasure map waiting to be decoded. Running it through my steganography tools, I unwrapped the hidden message like a kid at Christmas. And there it was, clear as day, a three-headed dog icon alongside the number 29. It was like someone had decided to plant the flag of the Cerberus Syndicate right in the middle of Prague. Diving into the digital depths for details on Prague Castle for that specific date was like chasing shadows. Sure, the castle was marked off for an event on March 29th, but the specifics were as elusive as whispers in the wind. Maybe it was some highbrow Easter soiree. But why was the syndicate all ears about it? It was a puzzle piece that didn't fit anywhere yet, an ominous sign hanging over a date, with no clear meaning. But it was a sign we couldn't ignore, another dot on our radar in this ever-widening mystery that spanned continents and hidden realms. It seemed our dance card was filling up fast, with Prague now scribbled in pencil, waiting for us to ink it in.
We retraced our steps to Montreal, once more in the guise of hipsters, thanks to the arcane magic of our hacked shimmer rings. we threaded our way through the less traveled doors of the Shadow Gate pathway again, emerging once more in the relative calm of Laval. From there, public transport became our steed, as we made our way to the sanctified embrace of St. Agnes Church. This sacred place, deeply rooted in the fabric of the Montreal community, held within its embrace the echoes of Jacques Vincent's legacy, intertwined with the history of the Henry sisters and, possibly, a clue to the elusive puzzle box that beckoned us onward. Our journey was marked by calm. The occasional Cerberus Syndicate agents we encountered remained blissfully ignorant, their quarry artfully veiled and moving right beneath their watchful gaze. As we awaited our appointment with the church's Keeper of Histories, a nun whose life had brushed against Jacques in his twilight years, we wandered the hallowed grounds of the church. The air around us was thick with a sense of history that seemed almost palpable, whispering tales of past lives and secrets through the rustling leaves. It was in this solemn sanctuary, among the silent sentinels of gravestones, that we sought the final resting place of Jacques Vincent. His gravestone stood as a humble tribute to a life marked by artistic mastery and a dedication that spoke softly but carried a profound resonance. Inscribed upon it was a phrase that captured our imagination and teased at our quest's edges: "Through the keyhole, glimpse the world beyond the curtain." This enigmatic inscription beckoned to us with the promise of hidden realms and insights veiled just beyond the realm of the seen. Adorning Jacques' gravestone was a stone key, an emblem of his craft and perhaps, we speculated, a literal part of the puzzle we were piecing together. The connection between Jacques, the Henry sisters, and the mysterious third puzzle box felt more tangible here, in the shadow of his memory, than anywhere else.
As we stepped into St. Agnes Church, adorned in our hipster guises, I found myself somewhat overwhelmed. The place had an air of quiet gravitas, a stark contrast to the whirlwind of magic, mystery, and occasional mayhem that seemed to follow RG and me around. Sister Marie Therese, our guide in this chapter of our adventure, was like a character out of a storybook herself. She had this serene vibe, the kind that made you want to sit down and spill your darkest secrets, confident they'd be safe with her. As she led us through the hushed aisles of the church, her tales about Jacques Vincent wove a rich tapestry that added layers to the mystery enveloping the Henry sisters. Jacques, it turned out, wasn't just a name etched into the lore of St. Agnes, he was a cornerstone of its history. An orphan who had found a family in Marie, Claire, and Sophie Henry, Jacques had poured his gratitude and love for them into every piece of art he created. Sister Marie Therese painted a picture of a young man who saw the sisters as his guiding stars, a beacon of hope in a life that had known too much darkness. His magnum opus, a breathtaking stained glass window that bathed the church in kaleidoscopic light, wasn't just art, it was a visual symphony dedicated to the memory of the sisters' journey from France to Canada. As we stood before it, the light filtering through in vibrant hues, I couldn't shake the feeling that Jacques had embedded more than just glass and led into this masterpiece. There was magic here, a story waiting to be told, and RG's twitching fingers, hovering near the Christmas card in his backpack, told me he felt it too. Sister Marie Therese's voice, soft yet filled with a profound reverence for Jacques' legacy, echoed around us as she recounted his dedication to preserving the memory of his adopted family. His final gift, the bronze statue in Mount Royal Park, was a testament to their lasting impact, not just on him, but on the community they had embraced. With the close of her tale, she stepped away, granting us a moment of contemplation before the vibrant scene of the stained glass window.
As dusk embraced the skyline of Montreal, casting shadows that danced along the venerable walls of St. Agnes Church, a pivotal moment in our quest unfurled under the watchful glow of our Christmas card's lantern. This beacon, our enigmatic guide through the veils of mystery, suddenly transformed from a passive glow to an active beam of revelation. With deliberate care, I manipulated the card, orienting it so that the lantern's focused ray might unveil the story encrypted within the church's stained glass, a tale that seemed to be patiently awaiting the kiss of light to be told. What transpired next was nothing short of an awakening. Before our astonished eyes, the stained glass window ceased to be a mere fixture; it blossomed into a vibrant tapestry of motion and color. The Henry sisters, captured in glass, were no longer static figures from a bygone era, but living entities, their visages illuminated with a fire of resolve. Alongside them, Jacques Vincent, not just a friend but a brother of the soul, joined in their tableau of unity and resilience. Together, they navigated the glass-encased saga, a silent odyssey of companionship and triumph against adversity, each moment of their journey immortalized in the kaleidoscopic hues of the window. Yet, it was the narrative's culmination that ensnared our focus, a clandestinely placed keyhole in the glass, nestled in the intricacy of the window's design, revealed solely by the guiding light of the Christmas card's lantern. In the profound silence that followed this revelation, Runeweaver and I exchanged a glance, a silent conversation passing between us. The key to unlocking this new mystery, this keyhole of impossibilities, might very well rest on the gravestone of Jacques Vincent himself. Until next time, my kindred spirits, keep the flame of belief ever burning.